Thank you for listening to the Grace Harvest Church podcast. For more information, go to graceharvestchurch.org.
Well, my name is Noah. I'm one of the pastors here today, and happy Father's Day. It's always an honor and just a privilege just to be able to speak. And for some of you that I don't know, my wife and I have been married for 14 years, and longer than it looks. We were really young, and we have four kids, and so I officially have my dad card four times over, and I love being a father. I don't think there's anything that's been more humbling, growing, or beautiful as I experienced in my life, and just happy Father's Day. And could we put our hands together for all the fathers here just to honor them? It's a lot to be a dad. And sometimes even just that one compliment will keep you going for all week. Right, guys? We don't need much sometimes. And it's a huge thing just to invest into your kid's life. And you got to be tough. You got to be tough to be up at 2 a.m. and get peed on and keep your cool. I've been through it all, and I know many dads out here, you've been through it all, and we're in this together. So we're going to make it. Amen? We're going to make it. Well, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to kind of jump into what we have for today. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we dive into Scripture, Lord, you would speak to us, Lord. That, Lord, we would always leave this place marked by your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before I go anywhere, sometimes I feel, or maybe just a Noah problem, but sometimes I feel like sometimes people can preach and then I miss what the actual purpose of the message is. And so I just felt like just to share with you today, the Lord wants you back home. The Father wants you back in the house. And I just felt so even just moved by the Spirit of the Lord this week, just as I prepared, that just like the prodigal son, who the story that Jesus told, I think it is so critical, and I think it is central to the gospel. And if you remember that story, you know, he took his whole inheritance, went into the city, and had some wild living. You can feel the gaps. And then, you know, he came all the way back, or he began to make his way back home, found himself in pig slop, and it said he came to the end of himself. And the end of himself led to the beginning of going back home. And I feel like for you, that end of yourself and you making your way back home, you get back into the Father's house. And then in the story, you know, we see the father from a far way off run, bring his son back home. And he's so excited and has a meal and a dinner. And what I find like we often do is we try to figure out our issues or problems or do anything we can on the road. But I promise you, the thing you are wrestling with can only be fixed in the house. Amen. It can't be fixed in the road or in the city or in the pig pen. The thing that is broken in you only can be fixed by being in the Father's presence. And so often we find ourselves trying to do stuff on the road or trying to come up with a thousand different reasons. I'm being like, okay, and we see him do that in the story. When I get back in, I'm going to tell my dad this and this and this. And what's so wild about that story is he blew all this money. And the first thing his dad says to him, he's just like, be quiet. I'm just so happy you're home. And so for you, the Lord loves you and he's after you in his heart. Is for one thing, to bring you back home. Amen? This is the kickoff of the book of Mark, which we're going to be walking through throughout the entirety of the summer. And today we're just going to be focusing in on just the first 15 verses. And I love how this kind of lines up. So we just finished our Holy Spirit series, which was awesome. Pastor Doug brought a great word last week, amen. And then today is Father's Day, And it's the beginning of this Mark chapter 1. And so today's message, we're going to call it First Things First. First Things First. I want to read through Mark chapter 1, 1 through 15. And then we're going to kind of take a few sections and kind of glean from them. So it says this. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. What a weirdo. I love how they like wrote that part. Just be like, just so you know, he ate bugs. Like, just so we're all clear here. And then he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, who the strap of the sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Somebody said amen in the house, man. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.' The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Wow. Something that I took away from this passage is order matters. And you see in this passage, in these first 15 verses, order matters. The order of things unfolding matter. And if you look throughout the entirety of Scripture, you'll see things happen in order. Things in the spiritual will always be in an order, but also things in the natural end up being in order. Have you ever done something in the wrong order? Yeah. Like putting milk in before your cereal? It's really annoying. It's really annoying. Or how about this? This gets me ever so often. You accidentally water the grass before you mow. This makes it just that much harder. Or how about this for all the moms out there? You'll relate with this one. You get the kids all ready to go somewhere, and then they get frustrating, and then you send them outside, and then they get unready outside. They come back in and you're like, how? Like, how? Or this one maybe for the dads. This one because I just really like to eat, I think. Really into food. I do all this prep, get everything ready, get my steaks all prepped. And then you go down and you're like, this grill is not on. That one really sends me. Or this one, and I've seen some of you guys do this, driving your car when it's frozen before defrosting it. I see you out there on the roads during the winter. You're looking through a hole like this big. Yeah. And you're just like, yeah, I see you doing things in the wrong order too. Order matters in the natural and in the spiritual. I think if you were to really understand about the order of God, it's really, really important to understand like the original design or the original intent. So the original intent of his relationship with you or with just humanity. And so I feel like understanding Genesis and that whole thing, you understand everything that should flow out of that. The Genesis story is kind of the how it was supposed to be. Or for you dads out there, the OEM part, the original part. That is the thing that was supposed to happen. And if you remember the story, God speaks, he creates the earth and light and animals and plants and then people. And then the snake enters the story, tempts Eve. Eve and Adam both fall. And then sin had entered the story. And that lands us in Genesis, I think chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." If you dive deep into just that one verse, you understand that this wasn't just a random occurrence. This was a daily set appointment with God. So the original intention of the Father with humanity is for humanity to work and for them to spend time in the cool of the day with him. That is the original intent. You and me were built to tend for a garden, hang out with animals. I don't know, go ride a lion. You do you, you know? And then after all of that, the end of the day, you would walk with God and talk about your day. The original intention was for you to have relationship with the Father. That is the purpose of it. And where we're at right now, through the death of Jesus and the resurrection, all of it is to bring us back into connection with the Father. He is our great advocate. He is the one that brought us, can bring us back into the presence. Sometimes we confuse everything and mix everything up. But the entire message of the gospel is that Jesus would die to bring us back into relationship with the Father. The core thing, the main thing, the original design is for you to have relationship with the Father and then for everything to flow from that. I love that. The standing appointment with God. I like to call it was the way it was supposed to be. Order matters. So order matters, as we look at just Mark chapter 1, we see Mark talk about the book of Isaiah, which is a prophetic word, and then we see Jesus show up on the scene. It's really interesting that before Jesus does anything that we know Jesus has done, i.e. maybe miracles, cleansing leopards, walking on water, all the cool things he likes to do. Before any of that happens, before Jesus' ministry, he goes and gets baptized. It's really interesting. He goes and gets baptized, and then the voice of God speaks to him and said, "This is my son, whom I am well pleased." I love baptisms. Aren't baptisms on a Sunday the best? If you're not baptized, you need to get baptized. And sometimes we think it's just a simple thing, but it's a spiritual thing. And the primary purpose of baptism is that you have identification with. What's interesting is when people get baptized in this tank right here, there's actually large bathtub. I don't know what to call it. Help me. The baptism tank. When people are in the water, there's this deep symbolic nature that is happening on top of the spiritual. And it's that you are of your own way, of your own will. And then when you go under the water, you're dying to your will and to your way. And then when you're brought out of the water, you are born, and it says, adopted into the family of God. So your status changes now to a son and a daughter to Father God. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to bring you into the family of God so you have identification with the Father. The primary thing is for you to have relationship. The first thing that you're supposed to have is that relationship. And then out of that, everything else flows. And if we were supposed to model our life after Jesus, we see that the first thing that he did before his calling, before he needed to get all the things that he needed to get done, was, I got to get in right relation with the Father. I got to line up with his will and his way with my life. And then out of that, the Lord speaks and confirms to him, you're not some random guy, but you're my son, and I am well pleased with you. Before you do anything, before the miracles, before the death, before anything, I am well pleased with you. I love that. His position as a son. Order matters. It's really awful, though, because we really get stuff in the wrong order, right? Stuff takes that first position, that first place often, and we begin to mix things up. We begin to put the things that are good maybe in that first position, maybe bad in that first position. But when you begin to mix up the order and you don't keep first things first, everything doesn't flow correctly. Everything. I'm pretty young father still, or at least I like to tell myself that every morning in the mirror. And I recognize in Father's Day, it's even in this crew, it is a mixed bag here. Because I know that we have people who had fantastic fathers, kind of medium grade, and then probably very horrible fathers. And I know people walk in on Sundays and you definitely have a mixed emotions in the room. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's really, really bad. And as a young father, I've realized that there's 1,000 things I need to do. I need to be a provider, protector, counselor, in my case, chef, a lot of times. But the primary and the most important thing for me to do as a father is I just need to look like him. That everything else is pretty secondary, and everything else actually will flow pretty well if I just look like him. And that for all of us dads out here, your personal relationship with the Lord matters to your kids. And then, literally everyone else. But the things that you do or don't do matter to your kids. I think one of the things that hit me the hardest in just my walk with the Lord was learning it's not about me. And learning that my health isn't only for me. That my walk of the Lord with the Lord isn't just for Noah. It's for my kids. It's for everyone. And man, sometimes that is the thing that will get me up out of bed again and be like, I just need to connect with the Father. If it's not for me, man, I just need to remember that it's not only for me, but it's for them. As a father, I hope to always represent and illustrate the Heavenly Father well. In a lot of ways, as a dad, you set the perspective of a Heavenly Father. Because we learn as children what a father is through the action, right? We learn the negatives and the positives. But the ultimate goal should always be to reflect the character and nature of Jesus. But we're fallen people, and so we fall short and we mess up. My son, my eldest son, likes to remind me of that. Do any dads in here have a kid with a remarkably good memory? It's the worst, isn't it? I'll be sitting in my backyard, enjoying my life, and my son will come up and be like, "Remember when you yelled at me 3 years ago?" I do now, buddy. I do now. I think about it often when I go to bed. I think about, no, you idiot. He has a remarkable good memory for things like that, and it is just the worst. But the things we do and don't do as dads, or the things that have been done to us by dad or don't do, it marks us in a really, really deep way. I think that's why even culturally we understand a really simple phrase, they have daddy issues. And you're like, oh, okay. Like you understand that two words has depth of meaning. When I was prepping this last week and then this week, I felt that the Lord was going to heal some father wounds in the house today. I love even what Jason said, because I agree. And I genuinely don't believe in accidents anymore, but I believe in divine appointments. And that you, Father's Day 2025, end up sitting here, and me, end up preaching this because I felt like the Lord is moving. The Lord is after to heal that deep wound in you. And it's a deep wound. I think I understand. And it's so important to do that. But it's really easy to push it out of the way, right? Because it hurts. But I feel like sometimes when you have a deep earthly father wound, you superimpose that wound and you put it on your heavenly father. And you're like, my earthly father was harsh, difficult, cruel. My heavenly father must be like that. And so your perspective gets all out of whack and you don't keep first things first. I believe that even now, God is on the move to heal you today. Your father wound must be healed. Your perspective must be restored, and the right order needs to be established. Because if you don't do that, it's like putting milk before cereal. It's never good. But you keep that stuff in the wrong order, and you'll grow really frustrated. Because you keep trying to make it flow right and keep trying to do the thing, but you have stuff in the wrong order. In your walk with Jesus, you have to fix this. He's already working, though. Let's continue on through the passage. After Jesus gets baptized by John, the first thing that happens in verse 12, after he gets out of the water, it says, the Spirit which descended upon him, so the Holy Spirit descended upon him, immediately drove him into the wilderness. So if you know anything about John the Baptist, and maybe this is just how my mind thinks, I apologize. do you know that John the Baptist was already in the wilderness? And so the Spirit of God drove him into more wilderness, deeper wilderness. And the first thing that after Jesus was baptized, confirmed as a son, before he did anything, he got this recognition, then he is sent out into the wilderness to go be tempted by the devil for 40 days. That's awful. That's terrible. That's tough. No food, no water, and the devil. That is the worst combo for a vacation. Like, it sounds like a bad time. But I find that so interesting that the first thing after he is confirmed by his father is to be tempted. Because Jesus himself had to be tested if he was faithful and trustworthy. He too had to be tempted that he's faithful and trustworthy. Because even Jesus needs to be tested to see if he is faithful with little, if he can be faithful with much. Are you faithful? The first time I really felt like called to do this, just preach at a church or a pastor, I was about 15 years old. And the time it took for me to actually start pastoring, I was 25. So I had 10 years kind of in between. And I remember when I turned 18 and I'm like, it's time, Lord. Thank God it wasn't time. And in between those 10 years, served at the church, did all sorts of stuff. But a part of that journey was actually going to Portland Bible College. And I was there and I was learning about theology. And while I was there, I worked a few jobs. But one of my main jobs was I ended up being a janitor. And I ended up working maintenance. And I remember being so frustrated because I didn't feel like I was doing what I was called to do. I was like, Lord, you called me to pastor. And yet you want me to fix another toilet? And it's a big church. And anyone out there, you know how awful it is fixing toilets. I don't think, it's bad. The things I have seen, my poor eyes. horrors beyond your imagination. But you know what's so interesting about that time? I never led a small group, never touched a microphone. I didn't do anything. And it confused people too. Because they're like, why aren't you doing anything? I'm like, I don't know. And I understood the Lord was testing me to see if I could be faithful with little. And you know what's so interesting? I took so many theology classes, read so many books, yada, 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 okay? You know what taught me more than a theology class? Was to be faithful with little. And I promise you, that toilet taught me more. Cleaning toilets and being faithful for what the Lord had in front of me was the thing that I needed. The thing that I took away from years of all this stuff was I was like, thank you, Lord, for breaking me in the right ways and bringing me to a lowly place. And thank you for those God-awful toilets. I walked away, and it still is the thing that is a marked difference in me. I can remember the day of frustration. I was laying on the ground, belly first, doing one of those, you know? That's when you know it's intense. And just being so frustrated. And if you find yourself in a place where you feel called by the Lord, like you feel like you're like, I got to do something, and you feel like you're in this in-between, maybe you're in a season of testing. And I would just encourage you in that season, double down, remember your calling, and dig deep. Because he is going to test you if you can be faithful with little before you can be faithful with much. I promise you. And if Jesus gets tested for 40 days, you got 40 days too, bucko. Like, are you faithful? I think about all the people that had to wait in the Bible too. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They got promised a kid, then it was years before that happened. Years. Or think about David. He was anointed king, and then Goliath and all this stuff. And then the king tried to kill him for years, and he waited. He didn't take the throne. He had opportunities. Or think about even the disciples after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It says they just waited in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit led them. Wait on the Lord. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Now let's get back to kind of the final section. Yeah, you can pop up there, Drew. In Mark chapter 14, we see Jesus... after he's baptized, confirmed, and then he is tested, then we see him finally do or start his ministry. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We see him walk in his calling finally. I love what it says after he got baptized. The Spirit of God ascended on him like a dove. We see the Holy Spirit then immediately drive him to the wilderness. If you are to fulfill, and if I'm to fulfill what the Lord is calling us to do, you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I promise you, it is so frustrating if you don't. Because you know what happens? You don't know what to say. You don't know where to go. You don't know what things to pray about. You don't even know the next move. And so you'll find yourself really, really frustrated. But then there's the Holy Spirit who knows the future and knows the way. And one of the things that is the most beautiful things, the most revolutionary things, let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting for you. All you got to do, your part to play, is to be obedient. Because then what's amazing is when you let the Holy Spirit lead you, you'll have the words to say. You'll have the prayers to pray, and you'll know what doors to go through and what doors not to go through. Let him do the holy, or the I was going to say holy lifting, the heavy lifting for you. Jesus finally starts his ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But this order is really important, because first things come first. That baptism, that position, that being back in alignment with the Father, then the testing and then the ministry comes out of that. Don't skip steps. Some things a lot of times become too complicated, right? Like we get things really mixed up. And I think the enemy does a really good job of making things seem really complicated. He does a great job of bringing confusion or division in the mix. But the entirety of the narrative of Jesus and the gospel and all this stuff is for you to be back in the house. That's it. Sometimes we're like, man, I got to fix this. I got to get this right. I got to line this up. But if we look at the story of the prodigal son, it just blows me away that all the things that he did wrong, like blowing his entire inheritance on wild living, doing all of the wrong things, the first thing his father says is literally he almost shushes him. He's like, shh, I'm just so happy you're home. Because the thing is, you can't be fixed on the road, but you can be fixed in the house. But you need to have first things first. And the first thing that you need to have dealt with is your relationship with the Father. And out of that, everything else will flow. Then you could sit back and you could be reminded, this is how things are supposed to be. I know we have people in various stages in their walk with the Lord. Maybe you're on the road. Maybe you're just so far from God. Irregardless of your state or your position with Him, I'm here to remind you, the Lord loves you and He's for you. And where maybe you would expect a really harsh word, His grace is deeper than you can imagine. And where you thought you were too lost, man, I know a miracle working God who's good at finding stuff. The more I read the Bible, the more I'm convinced of the simple thing, that the Father just wants His kids to come back home. Nothing else, nothing more. And then out of that place, everything flows from that. The rest of the issues will be sorted in the house. But for us, you got to get back in the house. I know Father's Day can be very strange for many. And if I just took a survey of this room, there's probably a mixed bag of fathers, from good to bad to ugly. But I just felt like so deep in me that the Lord was out to heal you of your father wound today. The thing that you have ignored, the thing that you have pushed aside, the thing that you haven't wanted to deal with. And that father wound is a lot deeper than you think, because it's affecting how you see the Lord. And it's begun to skew your perspective. And as Pastor Larry said years ago, wounded eyes don't see clearly. One of my favorite things Raul says. He quotes Pastor Larry, wounded eyes don't see clearly. And it's true. The wounds of your father has bled into how your heavenly father looks. And you think he's going to be harsh, but he's full of grace. And maybe you didn't receive any love, but the Lord loves you so much. It starts always with forgiveness. And forgiveness is this thing that it has to flow. Because unforgiveness is an open wound, but it's also a prison of your own design. And you can either be healed or free without forgiveness. You'll be wounded and trapped. But if you allow the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord to flow in your life and through your life, you can be healed and set free. Don't be stuck. Today we're going to take communion to kind of wrap up this time. I love communion because it really is simply coming back to the table of the Lord. I remember so many times when I was a young boy getting in trouble throughout the day for whatever. But my parents always made it a point to have family dinner time. You ever been in trouble and then you have to go to a family dinner? Anybody with me? And you remember how much you dreaded that moment, right? And you think of ways to get out of it, or you're like, hopefully I get spontaneously sick, you know? Something happens. And you know what's so interesting is, I don't ever remember why I was in trouble, but I remember the division it brought between me and my dad. I don't remember why, but I remember the division. And I remember the hardest steps were coming back to the table. But the back to the table is where the healing actually begins. And that's why I love the table of the Lord, is it's a reminder for you to come back into alignment with the Father. That you would leave anything else that you have let got between you and God, and you come back to the Father and you sit down at the table. Me and my dad would always make up, resolve, figure it out. And I always had a sense of relief after the meal. where I would be back to my normal self, cutting up, having a great time, and even reminding myself, this is the way it's supposed to be. When we take communion today, I feel like the Lord is going to heal some father wounds while you take communion. And the purpose is for you to come up here, take the elements back to your seat, and then for you to take a moment with the Lord. And I don't know what you need to say to Him. I don't know the words that you need to maybe confess, but I know that there's healing in the house. And I know that the Lord can do above and beyond what you can think or imagine. And you may think this is just a random Sunday, but I'm like, it's probably the Sunday that you are going to be set free. And I promise you, there is nothing like being free. I promise you. Heal that wound up today. The Lord's on the move. Things are to get done. He loves you. I think I remember so many times in my own walk with the Lord. One time in particular, I felt like I needed to spend time alone with the Lord. So I got a cabin. And I felt like the Lord needed to speak to me. And I was so afraid that He was going to give me a harsh word. I felt like the Lord is going to backhand me. And I remember driving for hours, not wanting to go to the cabin. I was like, heck no, don't want to do that. And I spent most of my day driving around the cabin. And you know what's so interesting? I got there, sat down by the river, and I was like, fine, we're here. Lord, speak to me. And all He said is, I love you. And I felt the presence of God, and it was healing ointment for my soul. And where I thought it was going to be harsh or hard, it was grace and it was peace. And it changed me. Because you know what's interesting about the Lord? He gives you the right word at the right time. And so I'd encourage you, if there's something that's holding you back from meeting with the Father, He's not that. He loves you and He's for you. Lord, I pray that we be reminded to keep first things first, Lord. That our relationship with You, Father God, is the primary thing, Lord. And out of that, everything will flow. Lord, thank You, God, for Your presence that is working and healing in this room. Lord, I pray that it would grow and increase, God. And Lord, would You just be reminded, Lord, how much You love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys are awesome. I love you. We'll see you next week.